Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Not only one of my favorite people on the planet, but one of the great writers that we have ever produced here. His name was Peter Ferry, and I have as my two guests two great people themselves. They're still alive, thank God. My old friend Gary Houston, a actor, director, writer, journalist, and Roger Rappaport, who is a... You do a lot of things, Roger. How do you describe yourself to people, please? And hi, guys.
I'm an investigative reporter who became a film producer.
That's it? Well, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
A film, and you've produced... You have produced the film version of my pal Peter Ferry's novel, Take Me Back... And Gary got to know Peter. Peter was a legendary high school English teacher who decided later in life to become a novelist. He had, and among many people he taught in high school at Lake Forest High School, was Vince Vaughn, the actor, and Dave Eggers, the literary giant. Gary, you got to know him at Chicago Quarterly Review, did you not?
That's right. I think the first time I saw him was at Printer's Row because he visited our tent there. And I think I'm talking about 2014 or 15, something like that.
Yeah. And Roger, how did you... I know we've talked a million times about Peter and our mutual affection for him. How did you first meet Peter? Was it from one of his books or in person? Or I can't remember. Maybe I'm getting just old.
Yes, like you, I fell in love with the book immediately, yeah. Called him up and said, I want to produce a film. But unfortunately, that was going to take a while, so we started out with a play, which was produced in both Detroit and here in West Michigan and Muskegon, and that led to the film. And fortunately, Peter was just the perfect collaborator, adapting his novel, just worked. From the very first, we actually met at the Art Museum the first time. And like you, Peter is one of those writers who everybody who's enjoyed his work, it's pretty unanimous. Your review initially was one of the first great ones, and it's been followed very widely. And now the film is out, and people have a chance to enjoy his work even more.
Well, I have seen the novel, which was his second novel. It's called Open Heart. Is a magnificent book. I think the movie is equally magnificent. I get to see a sneak preview. Thank you very much, Roger Rappaport. I know, Gary, you've seen it too. It is being screened Wednesday, June 4th at the Chopin Theater on Division Street, the Division Milwaukee, Nelson Algren's old stomping grounds, fittingly, I suppose. Roger, it is not easy. It is not easy to make a movie. This is the amount of energy, money, conversations that go into producing this hour and a half long, terrific film. Sometimes people wind up in a hospital or a mental institution going through that whole thing. I'm hoping this was a more pleasant journey for you.
Well, to be honest with you, basically, Rick, everybody who read the book and worked on the film, yeah. It was unanimous. Yeah. And I'm talking about people who've worked in Hollywood for a long time. You know, we shoot the movie here in Michigan and also in the Netherlands, of course. Mm-hmm. But when it's done, it all goes to a post-production team in Hollywood. And these are all veterans who have been in the industry for many years. And all of us, it was just unanimous. Everybody fell in love with this story. And the play, of course, was a stepping stone. We had a great response to that.
Sure.
But as you'll see at the Chopin, I mean, the people are going to be there. Just to give you an idea, one of the co-lead actresses is flying in from Amsterdam, just because she's so madly in love with this book. Our director, Kirk Wahamek, is going to be there. Of course, Carolyn Ferry, Peter's wife, will be joining us. And it's one of these stories that the people at the Chopin, all the people who've been in touch with it, had a chance to read it. There was a woman, we did an event up in Ludington, and she'd read the book in her book club, and she said, thank God you followed Peter's plot line. You did the flashbacks. Thank you. You know, people are just crazy about this book. And, you know, you were not alone in your judgment. But I want to say this one thing on top of all the praise that the book has gotten. Talk about timing. I mean, here we have the ultimate DEI movie.
Yep.
About the Red Ball Express, which was the unit, the only integrated unit in the segregated U.S. Army that fought Hitler. And now we have the 80th anniversary tribute to all the black soldiers who fought for the Americas all the way back to the Revolution. And on top of that, there's the Chicago community. This is where the book took life.
Sure.
You know, Gary has been part of that process in terms of embracing Peter's work. So it's just an honor to showcase this beautiful story.
I'm keeping both of you fellas on all the way until 7 o'clock just to sell tickets and get people to go to the Chopin Theater. When we're taking a little commercial break. When I come back, Gary, I know that Peter kind of, in a way, inspired you to fiction. You're one of the great nonfiction writers this town has ever known. He inspired you by dint of his own, let's say, late start at fiction writing to become a fiction writer, too. Let's talk about that. We'll talk more with Gary Houston and Roger Rappaport about Old Heart the movie. You can go to oldheartmovie.com. to see about tickets. It's a great website you have, Peter. The novelist Peter Ferry, who wrote two incredible novels. Travel Writing was his first. Old Heart was his second. Old Heart is now a feature film, thanks to the efforts of Roger Rappaport, who is a writer. He's a writer, investigative reporter. He's a lot of things. He's produced the movie. He wrote the movie. Gary Houston is the managing editor of the Chicago Quarterly Review, a longtime fixture on the local theater scene here, and a former journalist. Gary, Peter published some short stories in the Chicago Quarterly Review, and those inspired you, did they not?
Well, he himself inspired me just by listening to him read them aloud. And I read his short stories, and then I also read Travel Writing and Old Heart. I think what inspired me was he came up to me when I was reading something. I think it was a coming-of-age thing about growing up in St. Louis or something like that. And he told me, hey, this is really good stuff, kid. You know, I should keep it going. And so I've been trying to keep it going because of that moment, probably. I don't know if I would have gone any further.
That's so interesting. Roger, you all three of us really loved this guy. And I think part of it is, you know, he was remarkably self-effacing. Was it hard, Roger, to convince him to allow you to take Old Heart further than the page?
Actually, Peter was so enthusiastic about this and supportive. He saw the play, which opened in Detroit in 2022, and was there signing his book, of course. And it was a great night for him and his family. Since that time, you know, when we moved on to do the film, he was so supportive. He had a lot of great ideas. But the thing about Peter that I think made him, you know, a wonderful collaborator was the fact that he knew the Netherlands inside out because he taught there.
Yeah.
And one of the stories he told me was a woman named Corinne Mostert, who they were standing in the middle of Rotterdam, which had been obliterated by the Nazis right at the beginning of the war in 1940. And there's the State House, the City Hall, and saying, he said to this woman, Corinne Mostert, how could the Nazis have missed the City Hall? She said, well, it's easy. They wanted it to stand because that's where all the birth records were kept, and that's how they found the Jews.
Oh,
I mean, he
wow.
just had such insight wow. into the Hunger Winter, which is the center of the book. And in bringing this to life, I have to concede that there are scenes in this this film where his dialogue is verbatim, and it just brings you to tears, because if you spend any time in the Netherlands, he just got it, and it made our job so much easier.
Well, I've never spent one second in the Netherlands, and now after watching the movie, I want to go there. Gary, you saw the movie. What do you think?
I think he's right. The story, as far as I can see, the story follows the novel very, very carefully, faithfully, and brings out the values that it is talking about, including that of a man's right to, or anyone's right, to live the way they want to, even if they're at 85. And this, of course, is a drama that the character Tom Johnson has with his kids, and they want to put him in assisted living, and he said he wants to pursue a long-lost love.
Yeah.
And incidentally, I think that's one of the great things about the novel, and because it, I mean, I don't know why I thought of James Hilton's Random Harvest, but the idea of trying to find a long-lost love or something that you lost like that, I think is compelling. It's irresistible. I think it's one of the great things about this book, Old Heart. The word heart in the title. Yeah. You may be old, but there is still a heart beating. And
well, there's one. There's a line from the movie. Both, and we're getting to the point where I want, you know, I've done a really lousy job in telling people what the book's about, what the movie's about. But there's a searing line in here. I think he says it to his daughter. He says, "I might be old, but I'm still a human being." And I think that is one of the most potent lines in the whole book. It basically, Roger and Gary, and do a duet here on the sort of plot. There's an old man who decides in the United States to go back in search of a long lost love, and he does so against the wishes of his one is a jerk, and the other seems kind of nice, of his kids, who want to put him in an old folks' home, and he does go, and it's pretty interesting when he gets there, is it not, Roger?
Yeah. So basically, he fell in love with this woman during World War II. He got there with the Red Ball Express, this integrated unit that helped Patton's army get to Berlin because the rail lines and the ports were all closed, so they had 6,000. Trucks with 50,000 soldiers, mostly black soldiers and some white soldiers, that kept Patton going. He wouldn't have made it without them. And it was the only integrated unit in the American Army. And he fell in love with this Dutch translator who they were smuggling food and supplies from the liberated southern cities of Netherlands that were liberated in the fall of 44 to the northern cities that were still behind Nazi lines where people were starving. And they fell in love, but it didn't work out, in part because in the segregated army, any white woman who dated a black American soldier, the soldier was immediately either sent home or sent to another country with no forwarding address. And 6 years later, he goes back determined to find her. But when he gets there, he goes to an attorney who's played by a wonderful Chicago actress, Shannon Henry.
Yes, she's great.
Well known to your listeners. She's a fabulous actress, and she plays the lawyer in this thing. And he says, "You know, I went to her house, and it's an auto dealership. I can't find her. What's going on?" And she says, "Oh, give me a couple of days. No problem. I'll get it." And he comes back 2 days later, and she hands him a document. He says, "Well, my Dutch is a little rusty. Can you help me out?" She said, "Sure. This is Sarah von Prague's death certificate. She died in 1949 of tuberculosis. Can I book you a flight back home?"
Yeah.
And he said, "No, I just saw her coming out of the Albert Heijn grocery store," and that's where the movie starts.
Yeah, it's a terrific movie. I was, I don't know how you felt at the end of it, Gary, but I was terribly. I'm not going to tell what the end is at all, but I was terribly moved. I mean, it's you have screened this movie before, Roger. What's been the reception?
Well, we've screened sneak previews, and the reception has been great. But Rick, I have to tell you,
yes,
the greatest thing that has been happening. This is happening all over, from Brooklyn, to Michigan and so on, and then we're playing all over the country. People keep coming up and saying, "You know, I haven't been in a movie theater since COVID, and I'm so glad that I finally came back for this movie because." You know, in many ways, this is the perfect date night film set during World War II.
No question.
And it's a very positive look at elder independence, and that was Peter's goal in this movie. He wanted to show that you don't have to throw in the towel. If you want to live independently, you can certainly do that successfully, and that's what this film's about.
Well, and as Gary mentioned it too, but that line is just going to haunt me forever. I might be old, but I'm still a human being. It's quite a book. Gary, you writing short stories now, are you, pal?
I am writing what I call vignettes, and that's because I've got into a platform that said they called it monologia, and they said write no more than 350 words. So this has taught me economy in writing, because I go over, this word can go, and why are you putting it this way? It's much simpler to put it this way. Learning all over again from the rule of compressing to a certain word limit. So that's what I've been doing for a while, and people have been telling me, you really ought to put them all together and make a book out of them.
I, for one, cannot wait. Once again, I'll tell you, the screening of Old Heart takes place on June 4th, which is a Wednesday, at whatever that noise was, I don't know. Some celebratory noise at the Chopin Theater, which is at 1543 West Division. Screening is a benefit for the Chicago Quarterly Review and the Heartland Independent Film Forum. When we come back, and thank you guys for staying on tonight. I really want people to fill up that theater on June 4th and see this movie because it's Peter's movie. I don't know if Dave Eggers is coming in, but it certainly wouldn't surprise me. Dave Eggers, you know, a bright lad on the national, international literary front could not think more highly of Peter Ferry, who was his teacher. And Peter will tell you, oh, Dave Eggers as a teenager inspired him. Well, you know, nonsense. Nonsense. Peter inspired Dave Eggers. We got to take a little break. We'll take a little commercial break and news break and come back. And Gary, I want you to talk about one of my favorite publications, the Chicago Quarterly Review, where Peter was, in a way, I think, and tell me I'm wrong, but I know he published short stories there, but he also jumped in as a volunteer and all sorts of other things. I mean, I don't know if he swept the floors, but that would be like him to do. So we'll talk about that. Roger, I want to talk about your Patty Hearst book. I'm sorry. We'll have enough time to do that and talk more about Old Heart. I have some more time, thank God, with producer, writer, Jack of all trades, I think, Roger Rappaport, Gary Houston, old friend of mine, used to work with my dad, and now is a managing editor of Chicago Quarterly Review, and also an actor, a real mainstay of the Chicago theater scene. Gary, tell listeners what Chicago Quarterly Review is. It is a place where, to keep the theme of the show, where Peter Ferry often found a home for his short fiction in that magazine, and tell people about it.
He was on the board of directors, but he was also a frequent contributor with, and he helped us when he was in Evanston, help us get interns or help that we needed. We were trying to find young blood at the time. The magazine itself started in 1994, and it had its 25th anniversary fete at the City Lit Theater, and 5 years ago, of course. And instead of reading something that he had in that particular anniversary issue, instead he talked about the neighborhood. Around the City Lit Theater, which is on Bryn Mawr near Lakeshore Drive in the Pink Building. And that reminds me of the fact that the first time I saw him read was at the Celtic Knot, which was on Church Street at the time as a bar and a restaurant, Irish. And he was going to read from the issue of that particular time, and he said, but I'm not going to read this. And he, with a grand gesture, tossed it away, took out some pages out of his pocket and started reading what was the beginning of a novel, and it could have been travel writing, or it could have been Old Heart. I'm not sure which one it was, but he did mention driving past, I think, the Baha'i Temple, something like that. You probably remember it.
Sure.
You know, what strikes me about him, too, is the two people I have known who have had very late efflorescences as writers of fiction would be Peter Ferry and Cyrus Coulter. Cyrus Coulter was Illinois Commerce Commissioner under six governors, suddenly starts writing nonfiction, or rather fiction. And the Iowa Review, I think, picks it up, or the Iowa University Press, and he gets a number of books out because of that.
Well, there's that other
great and great reviews. Remember
there's
him?
that other famous late in life author down at the University of Chicago named Norman McLean.
Who wrote
well, there's a lot of argument whether it's Herman Kogan, my father, thought it was indeed fiction. A River Runs Through It, and fought for it to get a Pulitzer Prize and got shot down. But you can go to Chicago Quarterly Review. ChicagoQuarterlyReview.com, and you will be every 4 months or so treated to some of the liveliest writing in this area, in all areas.
Yeah,
you
can I add, Richard,
sure,
that it was a quarterly at the beginning, which means four times a year.
Yeah.
Now it only comes out twice a year, but the content is about three times the size of the content of most quarterlies, real quarterlies. But we can't call it the Chicago Review, drop the word quarterly, because there already is a Chicago Review.
You're right. I get it. Who's quibbling at that nonsense? Roger, I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes. Now, after the next break, we're going to do nothing but promote the June 4th screening. But you wrote, and I reviewed, a fascinating book titled Searching for Patty Hearst. And I wrote about it, that this is not merely some rehashing of the story, and there have been plenty of those. Rappaport's book is a knowledgeable reimagining, cleverly plotted, stylishly told. As you write in the book, Roger Rappaport, the facts of the Patty Hearst case have been the subject of both a legal and journalistic debate for many decades. Today, the true story, as presented from many points of view, continues to raise just as many questions as it answers. You were closely involved in that case almost from the beginning, weren't you, Roger?
Yes, I covered the case. I interviewed the kidnapper who took Patty Hearst from her campus apartment. I lived with the guy she was just about to marry who got beaten up in the kidnapping. Mm. I have a relative who was the judge at one of the trials that she was involved with, and I've also written very, very, very extensively about the coroner who had the privilege of autopsying six of the Seminese Liberation Army group that kidnapped her and died in the largest firefight ever on American soil. Mm. This book was published in Chicago by James Sparling at Lexicographic Press, who was also a production designer, did our website, worked for our directors, Kirk Wahamaki and Leslie Witt. And FYI, James and I are about to start a magazine. It's going to be called Off Center, and we're very excited about it. So James has been a longtime collaborator, and this book had his deft editing hand, on every page. And that's one of the great things about Chicago. There's just a very, very deep bench. No surprise to you, but to your listening audience that doesn't happen to be in Chicago, Chicago is just the kind of place where writers like Peter Ferry get their big break. And you've been part of it, Rick.
Well, I do my best. I mean, I just, I can't stop working. That's a problem. One of these days, maybe I'll have one of those late in life. How old, Norman? I'm thinking Norman McLean. I think I bloomed that. I think he wrote River Runs Through It. That'd be a good title for a book about Chicago anyway. But I wrote about, you said something to me when I wrote about your Patty Hearst book, which is a really cool, interesting book, Searching for Patty Hearst. You said, here's what Roger and his sense of humor, too. He said, I wrote this novel because I believe the American public deserved nothing but the truth. Very sorry about the delay. This book took a lot longer than I expected. Hope it was worth the wait. It certainly was worth the wait. We're going to take a break and come back. And what I want you both to do, and I'm so grateful for you both being on for this amount of time. But it's a big audience, and I just want to spread the word. I mean, you should buy Peter Ferry's novels. You should look up Gary Houston. You should subscribe to the Chicago Quarterly Review. And we're going to devote the last 10 minutes or so of this hour to convincing you, you need to be at the Chopin Theater on June 4th at 7:30. We'll tell you what's going to go on, who's going to talk. I will have a story in next Sunday's Tribune, some of it based on this interview and some of it based on whatever else I think about Peter Ferry, Gary Houston, and Roger Rappaport. Finishing up, to my mind, an interesting, fascinating hour with Gary Houston and Roger Rappaport. They are here and have been talking about the Chicago premiere of a movie titled Old Heart, which is based on the fantastic novel of the late Peter Ferry. His other novel, the first one was Travel Writing. Maybe someone will make a movie out of that. The screening takes place June 4th, Wednesday, June 4th, at the Chopin Theater. Very easy, very accessible. 1543 West Division Street, oldheartmovie.com is a great website. I got to tell you, Roger, it's a great website, and it also talks about many other screenings for your vast, vast WGN listening audience that are taking place across this country. What's going to go on that night, fellas?
Well, Edward Gaines, who plays the lead role of Tom Johnson, will be there, along with Ava Duari, who's flying in from Amsterdam. Mm. We're hoping to get Diane Van West up there. Jamel Sargent, who plays the young Tom, we're hoping to zoom him in. He's on his way to Los Angeles to start a career there. Kirk Wahamaki and I hope Leslie Witt, the directors, will be with us. And, of course, Gary and I will be there. For your listeners who have not been to the Chopin, you will love it.
Yeah.
Rick, you were celebrated there in a big event last year.
I was.
So I'm hoping. And for those of you who don't know Gary personally, check out Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Gary has an amazing role in that thing. I loved it. And if you haven't seen that movie and catch Gary in it, you'll get a chance to meet him before the show.
Is there going to be a gathering, I assume, before the show, just people?
Right. There's a bar there at 6 o'clock. People who, make reservations now, we're going to have food for them. Oh. So we'll have some light fare as part of the reservation. So that'll be our hospitality. And get a chance to meet, the owners, who are wonderful people.
Yeah, no kidding.
Leland Zygmunt, who are just amazing. It's really a Chicago treasure.
Oh, it is, yeah. Exactly.
And the movie, by the way, officially wrapped. It's totally done yesterday. So that's our Memorial Day present. Gene Gamache led a great Hollywood editing team, and we're really excited to meet your listeners.
Well, yeah, and you listeners should go. I mean, I think it's a terrific, terrific movie, and it does Peter Ferry very proud. Peter, wherever you are, I don't really believe in that wherever you are stuff when you're dead, but, you know, maybe he can hear me. What is the future for this film? I mean, I know it's not, you know, we got Tom Cruise and some other thing going on now. What happens now, Roger Rappaport? What happens to the movie after June 4th?
Well, we have a lot of screenings in the U.S. and in the Netherlands, and the veterans have kind of taken this on. We actually have the former director of Veterans Affairs in the state of Michigan, who also worked in the Biden administration, plays the role of Ella Mostert.
Yeah.
Zanetta Adams. She's doing a lot of events for us. And we're just booking all over the country, especially in the Midwest. So we're doing three tributes for Peter. This one in Salt Haven on May 31st, and another one in Indianapolis where he lived. So he had three different homes. And so we're doing three special tribute events for him.
What does Carolyn think of all this?
Carolyn's been been just amazing to work with. She's just been wonderful. There was just a memorial event in Salt Haven Palisades Park, and she's just been great. The family's just been wonderful, and we're all just so proud of Peter. All of us. We just he has so many fans all over, and the book just keeps winning new ones. It just keeps going. If you check out Goodreads or Amazon and look at the reviews, it's as if you wrote, one person wrote all the reviews. So you're
yes,
not
that
alone.
Was me. I did it. I did it because you know how much I love that book. I love that book. Gary, what are you doing? You're in a play now? What are you doing beside this?
No, I'm sort of at liberty right now. I'm understudying in a show. And then after that, I'm promoting a show that I want to do with a GoFundMe, but I don't want to advertise that on your show.
Okay,
because
why?
Because I think that's unethical.
I don't think it is. Go ahead.
That's okay. Well, it's a GoFundMe, and it's the name of the play is The Official Biography, and it's by Kurt McGinnis Brown. And it's about a reclusive Salinger-like novelist who may or may not have reproduced an actual murder he committed in a novel he wrote long ago.
So. Wow. Well, you can also, sounds good to me. I mean, I'd be happy to promote anything here. This is a local station, and I don't charge for commercials. I know there are a lot of commercials on here. I wish I did charge for commercials, but not from friends of mine. Gary is also, the thing is, the Chopin Theater in Nelson Algren's old stomping grounds. Gary is the voice of Nelson Algren in Mary Wisniewski's biography of Nelson called Nelson. Was that fun, Gary?
It was. At times I thought I had his voice, and other times I thought you forgot to do him, but no one's complained about it so far, so well, that's what it was.
There are now fewer and fewer of us around who ever heard Nelson talk, frankly. Have you done much of that? Have you done? Because is there an audio book of Old Heart, Roger?
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Because I'm not a huge fan of audiobooks. I only listen to audiobooks as I listen to Algren of when the voices are people I know. But there must be there would be a good for those sort of gray haired people who like audiobooks. Listen to that and also listen to travel writing. Once again, gentlemen, Gary Houston and Roger Rappaport, thank you so much for devoting so much time to our old pal, Peter Ferry. You can go, and please do go to ChicagoQuarterlyReview.com. But more to the moment, go to Old Heart Movie. You're smart people. I'm not going to spell it for you. OldHeartMovie.com. It's a wonderful website. You can learn a great deal more about Roger Rappaport. And Roger, keep me posted about this magazine that you're starting here. It sounds very exciting to me.
Thanks. And by the way, Gary was the voice of Ring Lardner in a play. And my brother Ron wrote two books on Ring Lardner. So we have a lot of connections.
This is all. One day when I get the okay, the three of us will do 24 hours on WGN, and if something will come up and go, okay, oh, and the next hour will be devoted to Ron Rappaport. I really thank you guys so much. I'm hoping to get up there, but next Sunday in your Chicago Tribune, ladies and gentlemen, will be a more detailed story about these two fine guys and that amazing fine guy, Peter Ferry, and his two books. Congratulations, Roger. It's quite a movie, and I know how incredibly hard you worked at it. You sound like you're like an older Tom Cruise. That's what I say. I wish if it could let it make 1/10 the money that Tom Cruise makes in that movie. Gentlemen, take care. Happy Memorial Day.